Favorite Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to the 83rd episode of Robots. I'm Jana, and today we've got a really special episode for you about robots' favorite robots. So today is all about the team behind the podcast and the robots that sparked their interest in this profession. But first, let's get the latest news in the world of robotics from Christine.
Volkswagen has debuted a temporary autopilot, or TAP, which allows cars to drive semi-autonomously at speeds of up to 130 kilometers or 80 miles per hour. The autopilot was developed as part of the EU research project HAVET, Highly Automated Vehicles for Intelligent Transport, and works by bundling other driver assistance systems such as ACC, Adaptive Cruise Control, and Lane Assist, Lane Keeping Systems, into one comprehensive function. It can autonomously maintain the vehicle's central position with respect to lane markers, maintain a safe distance to the vehicles ahead, and reduce its speed as necessary before a bend. It also observes overtaking rules and speed limits. However, similar to existing systems, the driver retains driving responsibility and can override or deactivate the system at any time. During its presentation in Sweden, Executive Director of Volkswagen Group Research, Jürgen Leohold, stressed that the system was based on a production-like sensor platform consisting of production-level radar, camera and ultrasonic-based sensors supplemented by a laser scanner and an electronic horizon. Volkswagen thinks that one possible scenario for its initial use might be in monotonous driving situations, in traffic jams for example, or over sections of a driving route that are exceedingly speed limited. And the Robots Film Festival that you may remember from our previous report has selected its winners. The BOSCAR Award for Best Picture went to a short film by Rob Shaw of the Bent Image Lab called The Machine, which tells a fairy tale of the eternal conflict of man and robot. Also, congratulations to our very own Sabine for winning the BOSCAR Award for Scientifically Hardcore for her video. To have a look at some of the amazing entries to the film festival, as well as some impressive autonomous cars, have a look at www.robotspodcast.com.
Since its humble beginnings in September 2006, the team behind the Robots podcast has grown steadily and with members from around the world now covers developments in robotics in more places than ever. Markus Weibel, one of the founding members of Robots and now a senior researcher at the Institute for Dynamic Systems and Control at the ETH in Zurich, is involved in the news for the podcast.
I'm fascinated by the huge potential of robotics. I think this fascination is quite similar to why people have dreamt of mechanical beings for thousands of years. Why researchers in ancient China and in ancient Greece and in ancient Egypt have tried to build robots. But I think there's a difference today, because I think today we're solving some of the key problems for creating such mechanical helpers for daily life, robots for the home for the first time. If you think, for example, about mechanical design of robots like the Asimo or Justin or the Hope 3, which is in our podcast logo, it's clear that these robots are mechanically capable of being useful, general purpose, human helpers in a home. They're mechanically capable of performing everyday tasks like cleaning up a room, or in the case of the Hope 3 robot, of cooking an omelet. And I think that's actually the first time in human history that we're so close to realizing that dream and to building mechanical beings. If you think about controls, we've seen extremely rapid progress there as well in the past two decades. So today's industrial robot arms even far surpass humans in precision and in speed for many, many applications. If you think of biped robots, they can walk on flat terrain right now, but four-legged robots are beginning to move very reliably in rough terrain to a point where they resemble animals. Another key area is perception, which is currently probably the most difficult challenge in robotics. But again, we've seen tremendous progress in the past few years. If you think back to the DARPA challenges in 2004 and 2005, I think it was, in 2007, where vehicles autonomously navigated through an urban environment, through a city environment with other cars. And now we're seeing the first autonomous cars developed by Volkswagen and Google that are moving in real highway traffic. And finally, if you think of AI, artificial intelligence, then we've also seen a huge amount of progress in the past few years. Less so in robotics, because I believe it's been held up a little bit by the challenges in perception. But if you think of, for example, IBM's Watson, who earlier this year beat the human champions at Jeopardy and showed just amazing language skills, or if you consider that today more than half of the stock trading at the New York Stock Exchange is algorithmic trading or robot trading, then it's clear that artificial intelligence is also making very, very rapid progress. So I think it's fair to say that we're living in very exciting times for robotics. The progress in the past years has been really amazing. And as you probably know, I have a bet running with some friends that robots will indeed beat the World Cup champions in 2050 in soccer. And I think things are looking pretty good right now.
As an electrical engineer, now working in the Laboratory of Intelligent Systems at EPFL in Lausanne, Switzerland, Jörg Germann joined robots in spring 2010 and has since used his experience in recording and mixing to help with the editing of the podcast.
There are many different aspects that I enjoy in robotics. So first, I really like that robotics is something that almost everyone has an opinion on it. So because robots are artifacts or whatever you may want to call them, they're around since ages in books and now movies. And humans have always been thrilled by this idea of having artificial creatures. So everyone has some point, or at least I guess, some point of view of robots, and these views really differ. So this makes robotics a very interesting and attractive discussion topic. So personally, as a researcher in robotics, I enjoy very much that I can talk about my profession with almost everyone, and sometimes I run into really interesting discussions. And second, as an engineer and researcher in this field, I really enjoy this interdisciplinary aspect about robotics, meaning that many research fields are overlapping. So it starts from engineering disciplines, goes into biology, and even goes as far to social sciences. So, for example, if you're doing human-robot interaction. And actually, with the growing interest in robotics, the field is getting even more and more interdisciplinary. So, for instance, if you think about these household robots and then the issues with law and so on. And so for me as a researcher in soft robotics, what I'm actually doing, I find it really exciting to have the opportunity to interact with people in material science, chemistry, biology, mechanical engineering, and many more. And I actually can learn many useful things from them. I really enjoyed the starfish gripper recently shown from George Whiteside's group. I think it's a good demonstrator that robotics is becoming more and more interesting for chemists, also at a large scale. And it shows that scientists with a different background may come up with completely different concepts, very interesting concepts. And it shows the importance of this interaction between all kinds of researchers.
Originally from Galați in Romania, Adrian Alfire is now a PhD student in the Distributed Intelligent Systems and Algorithms Laboratory at EPFL in Switzerland. Since September 2010, Adrian is one of the interviewers for the robots team.
There is certainly not just one reason why I like robotics. It's of course great to be working in a field that allows me to connect with myself as a child, as I was, as many children are, fascinated with the representation of robots in popular films. As a young researcher, on the other hand, one of the things that I love most about robotics is the fact that I see its potential to enable technology for many other fields. Robotic sensor networks, if I am to speak about something related with my work, hold a great promise for providing large quantities of data from difficult locations and at resolutions that will most probably be a game changer for the way people look at natural sciences. In this context, robots could be thought of as smart mobile probes with the capability to provide an unprecedented fine view into the inner workings of natural systems. And if we think about the fact that they could also interact with the environment and other agents in the environment, there are even more exciting perspectives opening up. Although there's been a lot of progress in designing the platforms and having sensors on them and having them communicate through different channels, there's still a lot of work to be done in control algorithms to actually have them work together in the real world. This is why in many of the deployments we see today, we might just see a few robots measuring but not really cooperating, or even just one robot. But these steps are important because we need to test these platforms in the target environment. In that respect, I would like to mention a project that I like by Professor Sukhatme at the University of Southern California. The project is called Merhab. And in this project, they were using underwater gliders for monitoring the coast to detect algal blooms. Although we're not quite there yet, this is a very exciting field, which is starting to receive a lot of attention, so I'm optimistic about the future. And in the not-so-far future, I would say, we'll start seeing fully-fledged, smart robotic sensor networks in the environment.
Amanda Prorok is a computer scientist working on distributed robotic systems at EPFL in Switzerland. She joined the podcast in spring 2010 and has since been out to interview quite a number of roboticists.
There are many aspects about robotics that I like. Probably the most prominent aspect for me is that it is ubiquitous. Given this fact, I'm excited about seeing how advances from a large diversity of domains spanning basic sciences, engineering, and humanities are brought together, continuing to change our everyday lives. We've just started talking about things like ambient intelligence and robotic sensor networks, but I think that there's still a lot of work and research to be done. Although I must say that one of my favorite applications is what this will do for our cities and built environments.
John Payne grew up in southern Kansas, and his interest in robotics stems from a dream about making use of a technological revolution to improve land management. Since January 2011, John has helped out with researching and writing the news for robots.
In essence, I realized many years ago that robotics holds the potential for making huge improvements in the way we do some things, in particularly agriculture. It would make it possible someday, not today, to substitute horticultural methods for methods based on traction, where you're dealing with each plant, each little piece of ground, independently and individually, in a very detailed manner. And that this is a general characteristic of robotics, that it At some point in the future, it should bring down the cost of doing things in a detailed manner to such an extent that it would allow substituting some different practice for current practice. And in the process, making a huge difference in our impact on the planet and on our own health, our own lives. I think that that vision is something that I'm probably not going to live to see. It's probably 20 or 30 years yet before we really get to that point. Perhaps I'll see, the first little glimmers. But I believe in it, and I believe that we're headed that way. I think the field as a whole, robotics, is headed that way. It's just going to take some time.
Having just finished her PhD at EPFL in Switzerland, working on swarming micro-air vehicle networks, Sabine Howard has now relocated to work at the MIT in Boston. Sabine regularly supplies the podcast with fresh interview material.
There are lots of reasons that make me love robotics. I love the fact that because robotics is such a young field, the researchers are really able to explore uncharted territory and dream up completely new ideas. This makes a lot of the research done in robotics very exciting, and I'm hoping that this excitement will lead to robots that can, well, first of all, improve our quality of life by helping us in our everyday tasks, whether it's cleaning or driving or replacing a lost limb if you've had an accident. Second, I think that robotics will greatly improve our productivity in areas such as agriculture and industry, and this will happen thanks to user-friendly systems that are more adaptable, efficient, and autonomous than ever. Third, I believe that robotics will allow us to explore new horizons, whether it's the deep sea, space, or maybe even the body. And it's fascinating to see that whatever the end application, all these robotic systems require a huge amount of expertise from many different fields. It often takes microengineering, mechanics, math, physics, psychology, biology, medicine, computer science, and wireless networking. And because of this required cross-disciplinarity, I think that roboticists will be in a great position to imagine and realize new projects that integrate many different areas and that maybe require out-of-the-box thinking, and because roboticists are good at this, maybe just a pinch of dream. There are so many robots out there that perfectly fit into this vision, and we've covered a lot of them on the podcast. I think that way up there on my list of favorites are the Roomba vacuum cleaner, the warehouse robots from Kiva Systems, Willow Garage's PR2, Harvest Automation's robots, the Luke arm, which is a prosthetic arm from Deca Research, the Mars rovers, and the Google autonomous cars. One of my very favorite systems is the Universal Robotic Gripper, which was published in PNAS last year, which is basically a soft gripper made out of a balloon that's filled with coffee grains. And what you do is that you take this balloon and you press it on an object, and all the coffee grains are going to flow around this object, and then you suck out the air. And what happens is the coffee grains jam around the object, and then you can simply pick this object up and manipulate it. What I love about this research is that they found a really simple solution that can be very useful for the industry, and that really required thinking out of the box and bringing together people from different areas of research. For example, Professor Jaeger is a physicist. He was the last author on the paper. And finally, as for the dream, I think that there's many incredible projects being launched now that will drive robotics for years to come, such as the European Mycopter project that just came out, which aims at developing aerial vehicles for personal transport to take traffic off the road and into the third dimension, sort of Jetson style. So I'm really happy that this dream continues, and I think we'll be seeing more and more cross-disciplinary and more exciting research which can be applied in the real life of people.
Adrian Bryant has a master's in microengineering and is currently doing a PhD in flying robotics at EPFL in Switzerland. He joined the podcast about a year and a half ago and has since been maintaining and updating the robot's website.
I guess what I find fascinating is how a robot is the fusion of a machine and a computer. The first time I touched a computer as a kid, I directly found it amazing. I mean, it opens so many doors, offers so many possibilities. But what I also liked as a kid was building things using Legos, wood, or whatever. Now, I really like the idea of building things that humans can physically interact with or that help humans on a physical task, and that still offer the endless possibilities of a computer. So basically, building intelligent machines or robots. I think this is fascinating because most interactions and tasks humans perform are still on a physical level, and robotics wants to extend the power of computers to this physical world. So I'm sure robots will at some point help us as much as how the computers help us nowadays in our daily life, except it will be for very different and more diverse tasks. Now, what I like a lot is how robotics tends to open itself to a larger group of developers, in the sense that it is now almost possible for non-researchers to download some documentation, buy some tools, and start developing applications on a robot. So I think that's great. I believe the more the researchers in the lab or companies develop good robots and basic actions like go there, grab this, etc., the more a broader range of developers will add on top of this some high-level behaviors that suit their needs. In a similar way, it is currently fairly easy for many people to code an application for their smartphone or computer and to share it, which generates a huge diversity of programs that people use on a daily basis. So when personal robots will be that easy to buy and to program, I am sure it will be highly interesting to see all the innovation coming from the users. A robot that has great potential, in my opinion, is Willow Garage's PR2 and more generally ROS, the robot operating system. ROS provides the programmer with tons of built-in modules, behaviors, etc., which lets him code immediately the application he has in mind. Even though this is still a research platform, I think this type of platform and tools will let in the future a broad range of non-researchers work on their fancy robot applications. In fact, it happens already in a sense. I mean, many amateurs are already out there programming their robot thanks to the growing amateur robotics communities. DY Drones, that we talked about a few episodes ago, is an example. To conclude, the fact that robots are becoming more and more accessible to any developer is pretty exciting to me, and I expect to see a lot of innovation out of it.
One of the newest members of the robots team, Priscilla Soares, is an undergraduate student at the University of São João del Rei in Brazil, and she'll be covering the robots movement in South America. Priscilla explains why she thinks robots are fascinating.
Since at the moment I just started mechatronic engineering, I haven't had as much contact with robots as I wish I could have, but I find them fascinating. Robots are incredible. And now programming my first robot in EPUC just made me realize that I'm completely in love with robots. What I most like about them is the fact that they are built to make human life easier, better, and simpler. Take the autonomous car for an example. Imagine in a couple of years or maybe decades, everyone having one of these. The streets would definitely be safer, trips would be safer, and plus, a single person, maybe called the commander of the car, but not driver, because that term wouldn't make much sense anymore. Well, anyways, a single person or the commander could make long trips sleeping or maybe watching a nice movie. Wouldn't that be nice? Or maybe someday there will also be car mattresses and not only car seats. I just love it when robots make human life more practical.
Yannis Aripis studies and works in Athens as a mechanical engineer and graphic designer. Yannis has been supporting the podcast team by developing content for the robots website.
What I like about robotics is that they combine the extremely fast evolution pace of computers, but with direct actual real-life applications and effects. Computers by themselves change completely how we think, and they affected our world massively. However, their influence is not straightforward. Robotics are able to expand this trend by directly applying their effect to the world we actually live. Many or even all robotic systems potentially apply as an example to my first answer. One that I believe illustrates the vast influence robotics already have, and also the very wide spectrum that they cover, is their applications on the automotive industry. Computers may help engineers to design cars that are dynamically safe for every driver by creating better components and evaluate the dynamics of the vehicle. However, robotics actually help directly the driver in his or her task. This may be obvious on the fully autonomous cars from the DARPA Challenge or those tested by Google, but even the conceptually simple electronic stability control that exists in almost every car on sale today is a robotics application. The ESC uses a handful of sensors and selectively applies the brakes on each wheel when it detects that the driver is losing control. Every day it silently saves many lives. Discrete applications and embedded systems like this may pass unnoticed from the majority of the users, but already have a huge impact. Even today, we entrust our lives and give them the final authority in a time of crisis.
And that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed finding out about robots' favorite robots. If you want to find out more, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. The next episode comes out in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Favorite Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.